there's some prayer needs that need to be addressed tonight, and that's just what we're going to do. But I'm not going to prolong the time much. But I was had a extremely pleasant conversation with a awesome woman of God, a great teacher of the Word. She has really been blessed my spirit, and she goes back to my mother's day, so to speak. And great influence on my life. And how many know that the things we or the people we connect with, they have a great influence. Everybody here on this line, listening to my voice, or in the world, or whatever, has an influence. President Trump, of course, he's the president of the United States. He has an influence. Vice presidents, senators, and on a very poignant and influential level, fathers and mothers. That is a very, very influential task, and a very big task is being a father and mother. Some people are managers of we got principals on the line. We got people that work for in levels of government on the line. And we've got people who are supervisors. We got people who are in janitorial services. Whatever the occupation or the things that you do quite frequently, you know, your job, i.e., there, just regular life, there's always a level of influence that we have. Praise God. And so the Bible says that we have battles with principalities. And principalities are one variation is influence. Principalities, and we don't battle against flesh and blood, although that's usually our target when we're in a war, an individual or individual political party or whatever the case might be. Our battles usually, in our minds, are targets. The targets are people. Praise God. You know, we have a disdain for a certain country right now. You know, a certain country has a disdain for us. And so, one in their mind, they're right, and in our mind, you know, we're right. But Jesus was not so much, because he understood influences, but he understood agendas. He understood the real enemy's agenda. Now, the enemy can use anybody, just like God can use anybody. I'm going somewhere with this stuff. I promise you. And so, to understand somebody's foundation, and to understand what's real and what's not, meaning what's righteous and what's unrighteous, there was no stand, because our influence can influence us so much that we think we can be so right and yet be so wrong. Praise God. Jesus came to establish. The waters had gotten, the laws of God had gotten muddy. You know, they thought their righteousness was in temple service. And we still do. We still think that we're right because we go to church. Or you know, we holler God when we need something or whatever the case might be. Praise God. But God's intention and his principles are very clear. He said that his word is made so plain that a fool can hear it. A fool. Praise God. a fool. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, he begins to resurrect the dead. He begins to heal the sick. He begins to open blind eyes. He begins to reveal the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Stark difference of what was going on at the time. And your difference in the same way, because my brother and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about the NFL draft, and you know, the systems are pretty much similar, little differences. So the game changes, or the game never changes, just the player. And it's the same way with the enemy, whether it be Rome or Babylon or Assyria or, you know, they were all used at one time by the enemy. And when we fell to those influences, we became just like them. Or Israel, excuse me, became just like them. And in the same way, it is now. When we settle for influences that are not by the word, by the Spirit of God, we settle. Hallelujah. So God raised, he was the stem. He is the stem. Praise God. Now we'll show examples. Thank God he has allowed us to be vessels to reveal him, but it's still all him. Hallelujah. Praise God. But your difference, meaning i.e. Jesus in you, and the standard he has in you makes the difference, regardless of what the occupation, regardless of what level of influence, Jesus is the difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll show y'all something in the Word tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I had been thinking about the Holy Spirit had been ministering to me and quite frankly, to be honest, rebuking me about some things that I had that I have been, I wouldn't say, we family, we can be real. He had been rebuking me about some mindsets that I have had. And I have had these mindsets for a while. And so there is nothing like the Holy Spirit to show you yourself. The blindest man in the world is not the man who can't see. It's the man who can't see himself. And you can't see yourself without a mirror. You can't see yourself without truth. Hallelujah. Because we can be so influenced by something, saved as you want to be, and just be just as blind as you want to be. So we have to be open. And we have to be willing to die daily. Hallelujah. It's so easy for things to creep in. Rebuke is not a bad thing. Hallelujah. In fact, a lot of people today call rebuke an attack. No. No, no, sir. No more. Rebuke and abuse aren't the same thing. Abuse only agenda has, its whole focus is for you to pay for pain. Rebuke wants to correct. Hallelujah. Abuse has, its only purpose is for you to pain, to be in pain. Rebuke is for you to be corrected, to be better by. So sometimes the word of God uses There were times Jesus cast out demons and he spoke a word, and then there was other times he rebuked. Hallelujah. And so the title of this message, yes, it's going to be one of those nights. I'm not going to hold you too long. The title of this message tonight is Rebuke. Praise God. And if you didn't know the definition of rebuke, Brother Marcus is here to is here tonight to give it to you. Praise God. And the definition of rebuke is express sharp disapproval. Hallelujah. Or criticism of someone because of their behavior or action. Hallelujah. We love the glory, but you will not have the glory of God in your life without rebuke. Praise God. And because we are in a fallen world and we have habitually, not by our own volition, so to speak, but because of the fall, we are all falling short. And the fall has influenced humanity. Well, Adam and Eve, they opened up the floodgates. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But we know what the minds that we had pre-regeneration, pre-Christ. That's the fall mindset. And to be honest, some of us still got it. Just as we all under construction. But when Jesus came, he also opened up heaven's gate that had been closed off to us. Hallelujah. Y'all turn with me to Mark. Turn with me to Mark 9. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mark 9. And we're going to get into this tonight. This is extremely important in a rebuke, in a believer's walk. Extremely important. Praise God. Title of this message is Rebuke. Praise God. Hallelujah. So in Mark 9, Jesus is, there's a lot of different variables going on here. His own people, his own disciples at the time, had come into a situation where they could not do what Jesus has done in the past, where Jesus was healing and these things. The disciples could not deliver this young man, but that's in another variation. But they were looking for a sign. People were looking for a sign if Jesus was the Messiah. They were constantly challenging him, trying to, and it was all because of a mentality of doubt. And they were looking for Jesus to prove himself, but he understood the principles that they were standing on. He knew what they were standing on. What you're standing on is everything. Your foundation is everything in your life. And so they knew, he knew what time it was, what was going on. He calls them a faithless generation. He said, how long shall I be, how much more can I show you? Sound familiar. Jesus delivers us out of one thing, something else comes up, oh, God, where are you? Same place I was before. I'm going to do the same thing I did before. And so we go from somewhat station to station and problem to problem. And it's like we are slipping on, we're standing on faith, we're standing in our emotions, standing on how we feel, standing on what we think. Always looking for a sign, always looking for this. Hallelujah. He said, oh, faithless generation. So they brought this young man, his father brought this young man who had a spirit. And if you didn't know, spirits are principalities. They are principalities. Spirits are. This is why God had to give you the Holy. And so he had a spirit. And when they saw him, this spirit would oftentimes galvanize this young man. And we're gonna read these because I can't do it justice. Praise God. Mark 9, and we'll start in 20. His disciples couldn't cast him out. Praise God. They could not cast this spirit out. And Jesus called them a whole faithless generation. He said, how long shall I be with you? How shall I suffer you? And then he turns around and says, bring the child to me. Praise God. Verse 20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. This is very telling, saints of God. So this influence, this spirit, had been plaguing him and no doubt the family for a long time. And it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing how long we will deal with something before we bring it to Jesus. Now, it doesn't say that he knew about Jesus any other time before this. Doesn't say that he had any knowledge or any interaction. But this is a long time to deal with this influence, and I'm making a parallel. How long are we going to settle for things that are beneath our call, beneath us? How long are we going to sit in influences that are corrupting us, that are tearing us, causing us to be mad? How long, thank you God, how long are we going to continue to allow racism to influence us? How long, thank you God, are we going to continue to let pornography influence? How long, saints of God, are we going to continue to let things control us? How long are we going to continue to let slothfulness control us? How? Praise God. He said this has been since his child, since he was a child. Let me ask the question, has there something that has plagued you as far as you can remember? And we've taken to somebody, or we've had people in our life that could do nothing about it. They brought them to the disciples. The disciples couldn't cast them out. Thank God for Jesus. So Jesus said, as in a matter-of-fact type way, how long am I going to suffer with y'all? Have y'all not grown up enough yet to cast out this spirit? He said, how long, O faithless generation? Oh, that's harsh. Yeah, Jesus was that type of dude. He sure was. And so when they brought him, the influence really started. Do you know your presence, when you are full of the Holy Ghost, it agitates different principles. You know how in times past, I'm speaking with Brother Mark, when I was really into the world and into some things, I didn't like to come around my mama that much. It's not just because she could see right through me, but the spirit would be agitated. Oh, yeah. And so he says, how long since he has been in this place? How long has this come unto him? He says, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into fire, into the waters. Watch this. This is very telling. To destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. There's some keys here. You notice he didn't come to Jesus commanding. He came to Jesus humbly. He said, if you can't do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us. He appealed to Jesus. Oh, this is a beautiful picture of a mercy, of the mercy, of mercy. Beautiful picture. He said the spirit oftentimes cast in here and cast in the water to destroy him. This reveals principality. The Bible says that you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Now, they couldn't see the spirit, but they could see the fruit to destroy them. Hallelujah. This separates the sheep and the wolves, wheat and the tare. It's principality. It's agenda. Its influence is designed to destroy. Hallelujah. And these things that plague us, unforgiveness, offenses, these are symptoms of roots that are designed to destroy. Jealousy, envy, they're designed to destroy. Homosexuality, all these things that God, that the Apostle Paul outlines, and we're not going to go into those, they're designed to destroy. But Jesus had another design in mind. Hallelujah. He had another design in mind. And Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out. Now this is extremely important. And said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Help me where I'm weak. We have gotten so fucked that we don't bring out weaknesses. He said, help where I don't believe, God. Unbelief. Help my unbelief. Powerful faith, God. So Jesus is presenting to him an opening. And you know, this man had to be, first of all, his heart wrenched, for he has a child that he could do nothing for. But I'm pretty sure he tried. The Bible doesn't say how old the child is, but apparently he had been in that condition for a while. And I have always, this is what always has drawn me. This is what actually drew me to Jesus, because I tried to help myself for years. Hallelujah. Your condition sometimes will be a collision course with Jesus. It is a collision course. And this man, son, child, has a spirit. How many times have we seen people influence and our unbelief have kept us from reaching out? And I say, I'm saying it just to myself, oh, I have been faithful. I was a part of this faithless generation. I would see somebody heavily influenced, whatever it might be, and it would keep me, because in my limitation, I didn't think it could. I don't think it could be cast out. I didn't think it could be rebuked. So we say, oh, I'll pray for him. You know, God bless you. But do we really believe? Do we really believe that the possibility? Do we really believe that all things, not something, not a couple of things, do we really believe all things are possible to him that believes? See, our marks have become too low. And I say our marks, our vision and our understanding. And Jesus, this is what he came to open up. The possibility. For this man has dealt in this situation so many years, and it seems like this spirit had closed him off. And this is what the design of influence of the enemy's agenda is to close you off from the possibility of the power of Jesus Christ. Ignorance. And I'll show you something here. I'll show you something here in the Word. And straightway the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. Now, he says it's a dumb and a deaf spirit, and I'll read the rest to you, and I want to settle right here. Deaf and dumb. Hallelujah. And we don't have to be foaming at the mouth to have these things, and this has nothing to do with intellect. This has everything to do with exposure. A deaf and dumb spirit. Control. And just because we have our wits about us doesn't mean we don't have this deaf and dumb spirit. This is what the fall did. It disconnected us from where we were designed to be, giving us a deaf, and that we can learn as much as we want. This has nothing to do with degrees. This has nothing to do with accomplishments. This has everything to deal with the possibility of being connected to God. It all deals with exposure. And see, thank you, God. God loves you too much to let you stay ignorant, to stay defeated, to stay under influence. And this is why he rebuked the spirit. The Bible didn't say he casted it out. He said he rebuked it. Hallelujah. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee. See, unbelief keeps you deaf and dumb. He said, I believe, God, but I help my unbelief. Now, Jesus is dealing with the child. Hallelujah. See, when the strong man of the house is bound up, the house can be raided. And him being the father, he is the head. And when our minds and stuff are bound up in unbelief, we have a deaf and dumb spirit that runs rampant in the house. Hallelujah. He says, I charge thee. Now, this is very important. He says, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him. Enter no more into him. Enough is enough. And I'm here to tell you today, saints of God, that deaf and dumb spirit that has, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand, that has plagued my life, God rebukes it. And he charges it. To come out. This is not your portion. This is not it. This is over. And Jesus said, not only that I'm going to rebuke you from this influence, this portion, this spirit, this influence can't enter into this house anymore. You know why? Because Jesus is dealing with the unbelief. Hallelujah. See, when the truth enters and is honored and is valued, you don't have room anymore for the deaf and dumb beast. The influence, the control. Hallelujah. It can't, that spirit or foul spirit is not stronger than the spirit of truth. So where possibilities and where you're capped and limited, God opens up. Hallelujah. The possibility of power and truth and change. But the spirit wasn't done yet. And it cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that they said he was dead. So when there is an exercising, if you will, of old influences, there will be a death, if you will. But I'm here to tell you today that in order to have the newness and the resurrection, something, a lot of things have to die. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and guess what? He rose. He arose. Hallelujah. Jesus rebuked the stumbling block in his life. He rebuked that which had taken up residence. He rebuked that which had controlled, I'm sure, their whole lives. And he arose. Thanks to God. Rebuke is not a bad thing. Rebuke is for your rising. I'm here to tell you today. The power of God is active and it is present. It's sharper. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's only cutting away the things that need to die. Hallelujah. Cutting away the foreskin, if you will, of unbelief. Hallelujah. We have considered the unbelief way too long. It's time to hold on to our belief. It is the time, thanks to God. The possibilities are eternally. Whatever you're thinking about today and whatever you're looking at that has been there so long and that has not changed, I consider this to you. Bring it to Jesus. Just because so-and-so couldn't do it and that one couldn't do it, consider Jesus. Just because this spirit couldn't grow. So-and-so said they've got a generational curse. So-and-so, that's so-and-so. I don't care if your whole lineage said they got a generational curse. It stopped with you. Those are not your possibilities. That is not your cap. We rebuke that spirit, that lying spirit in your life tonight, thank you, God. It's time to rise. It's time to rise.